Tonight on Evening Jazz, we are going to lead off with a conversation that I recently had with saxophonist James Carter. I'm Carol Handley, and James is coming to town this Saturday. He's going to be playing with Symphony Tacoma as a part of Saxophone Fusion, and we'll share some of that conversation and lead off tonight's edition of Evening Jazz. In our musical library, you can find James Carter, filed between another great multi-instrumentalist, Benny Carter, and legendary bassist Ron Carter. So whether his work is sitting on a shelf or he's out in the world creating it live, his music hangs with the best of them. He knows just the right horn to color the music selection of the moment. And that moment might include cross-pollinating genres represented in songs like Lester Bowie's Free Reggae High Bop. James Carter has also played funk jazz. He's been at the forefront of reimagining the organ trio. He keeps the gorgeous tones of the baritone sax and the bass clarinet in the musical mix. And he could be turning his tenor into a beatbox. He has created an adventurous recording career as a leader and cemented his reputation as a visionary reed player. James Carter, thanks for checking in before your visit to the Pacific Northwest to perform with the Symphony Tacoma April 20th at the Pantages Theater.
Yes, it's such a pleasure because I love, that's my neck of the woods, going back in the time to 1990, actually, when I was an employee of the Stena Lines that was there.
Oh, really?
And I was with a cover band that was out there. And it was called Sub-Zero, and we did a couple weeks on Stena Line cruises, went from Seattle to Victoria to Vancouver and back. We were basically crew because we knew how to evacuate the ship, and in addition to playing five sets a night and all that stuff. So, yeah, we were there.
So we were top 40 cover band?
Yeah.
Right on.
So yeah, it was Hammer Pants, Electric Slide, Jane Child, Janet Jackson, Bobby Brown, all that stuff was being churned out. We did a jazz set first, and then, all right, we'll be right back with Sub-Zero, y'all. Psh, right? So and then about 30 minutes later.
Oh, that's fun. So you got to spend some time in the Northwest.
This group was based in Portland, Oregon.
Crazy. But when you come to town, you are going to be on a program called Saxophone Fusion with Symphony Tacoma. Two pieces, one that you are well known for performing is with Roberto Sierra's Caribbean Rhapsody piece that he wrote with you in mind and collaborated deeply with you on this piece, which is also available as a recording.
Yes, it is.
How often have you performed this live with various symphonies?
The Caribbean Rhapsody, actually, I think this will be the third time, because actually the second time was with Sarah Ioannidis in Cincinnati a couple of years back.
And she will be conducting the Symphony Tacoma with you.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I first met her, and she did that, so her saxophone fusion thing was her contribution.
And maybe you could speak a bit about working originally with Roberto Sierra on this piece that you recorded together.
Caribbean Rhapsody came on the heels of us dealing with the success of Concerto for Saxophones. It was a successful collaboration, and to me, even though I debuted it over 10 years ago, it's still a challenging piece to me, you know, because I never play it the same way twice.
I'm Carol Handley, and we're sharing some conversation I had earlier with James Carter, who is coming to town. He's going to be playing with Symphony Tacoma on April 20th at the Pantages Theater. And right now, we're going to listen to some of this nice tune called Susa Nita that was recorded in his 2008 album called Present Tense here on 88.5 KNKX. I'm Carol Handley, and we're talking with James Carter, the multi-instrumentalist, coming to town to play with Symphony Tacoma April 20th at Pantages Theater. It's known for his deep knowledge of vintage and modern horns and has quite a good collection of his own. And I got to ask James a little bit about his saxophone collection. I'm wondering, what was the first instrument that helped you find part of your own personality, that maybe helped, you know, find your musical voice, and if it's possible to explain what that feels like?
Coming from a family of musically inclined siblings, I'm the youngest of five, and I was the pest that was always at rehearsals. After rehearsals were done, I had fun flirting with various instruments that were left in the either in the basement or in the garage, or, you know, the piano at the house and all that. But saxophone definitely was that doorway. My first alto saxophone, which is a late 1920s King, H.M. White from Cleveland, Ohio, which I still own actually to this day, and it still kicks butt. It feels like putting on an old glove. I'd say finding it, it's like a lost appendage that you never knew existed. It's like, you know, something that was deep inside of you, and it took this instrument to externalize it. You know, this one part of you that, like, you might be shy or whatever, but because of the veneer, and you could blame it on the instrument or on this appendage that you still got to become one with. Well, there's some faults or whatever, but once you become one with it and you understand how to get around on it, and it's just like acquiring, you know, that second language.
Now, and I would imagine you have a fair amount of instruments, and, you know, that they're all favorites given the right setting for what you need. Is they're all tools of your trade, but kind of like a parent with a lot of kids, sometimes there's secretly a favorite.
I'd be hard-pressed to say what the favorites are, but at the same time, no, I wouldn't, because there's always those individuals, like the aforementioned, my first alto. Mm-hmm. I think the first of everything winds up being those favorites. My teacher's old baritone is my favorite because it was the first baritone that I had a chance to really get off on, have for quite a while, and my first tenor, the first tenor that I owned, and also the first tenor that I was able to borrow over a long period of time, which was an old Bundy, old Selmer Bundy from the 60s, just because it put me in those ranges and it gave me access to those ranges at an early point in my life, which also expanded my ear and facility by it being in different keys. Going back and forth between alto and tenor was really an eye-opener, not only for the hefting, you know, of the additional weight, the adjustments to the different lengths, but also the fact that they're in different keys, and some keys that I might not have been sharp on alto, because of the key difference, the fourth, I was able to hear them a lot better on tenor, and then for afterwards transfer that over to alto and vice versa.
Can I ask if there's a next recording project brewing in your brain?
Well, there's already one in the can, tentatively entitled Jungle Unchained. It's a organ thing that's on Blue Note, and we're basically doing music of Reinhardt and various other Gypsyites and putting it in the urban context using the organ trio.
Nice. Well, thank you for the hang. We look forward to your performance with Symphony Tacoma on April 20th at the Pantages Theater.
Done deal.
Thanks, James.
Bye.
Again, that's happening April 20th, Saxophone Fusion at the Pantages Theater. And you can find more information on our events page at knkx.org. And you can also find it on symphonytacoma.org.